Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, The Four Dimensions of Prayer.
Lesson one, amen. I was talking, amen, from the introduction of 2 Chronicles 7, amen, and I talked about, amen, why Zion takes a knee, all right? Why we, as the people of God, why do we take a knee? And then number one, I said we take a knee because the God that we pray to, he answers by fire. Amen. The God that we pray to, he answers by fire. Does anybody know the God that answers by fire? Amen. My God answers by fire. I'm glad seven of y'all, amen, your God answers, amen, by fire. Number two, amen, we talked about, amen, prayer helps us commit to the greater sacrifices, amen, that are necessary, amen, for this present moment. Amen. Every moment does not require the same sacrifices. Amen. We've come to some places that we've got to give a little bit more. And it is prayer that helps us, amen, give us, amen, what we need in the moment that we're in. Have you ever been in a situation you say, Lord, if you don't help me through this minute? And well, that's what prayer is for, amen, giving you the necessity, amen, for that moment. Number three, amen, in the first lesson, amen, why about Zion bows his knee, prayer empowers, amen, Zion to complete the task and the assignments given by God. Whether you're working as a teacher, whether you're working as an administrator in some, amen, law firm, whether you're working as your own business, amen, you have an assignment by God, amen. And some of the things that you're going to accomplish, man, you're going to only accomplish them through fervent prayers. Man, it's going to be difficult to do it if you don't pray. It may be impossible. So for what you've been assigned to do, you've got to get a prayer life. Do me a favor, talk to your neighbor. Say, what you've been assigned to do, you have to get a prayer life. Prayer empowers Zion to take care of its assignments and responsibilities. In lesson two, I talked about, Lord, help. We really don't know how to pray. That is something, amen, that takes humility to admit that I'm in situations that I really don't know how to pray this thing through. But I'm so glad that Romans says, amen, he, amen, gives us the spirit that prays through us when we do not know how to pray. And in lesson two, my 3 points, and then I'll go into Matthew 6. Amen. Lesson two, my point number one was we're engaging in prayer. It is a signal to heaven that we are humbled and we're requesting assistance from God. I don't know if you understand this, but God has a humorous side. You don't believe me? Google, laugh at your calamities. God said on one occasion, he will laugh at our calamities. So he had a humorous side. And sometimes we going through, and the only reason we going through is we have not asked for assistance. There are some situations that he just waits for us to ask for help. I know I'm not the only one that I think there's, you know, some things I think I can handle. I know y'all don't function like that. Y'all call on God for everything y'all need. But me, I have some stuff that I can't handle. I left out of here last Tuesday night, got my family in their house, and I had to drive to Columbia, South Carolina. I couldn't handle it. Prayed most of the way. And he saw me through. There are some situations that you are in. The only way you're going to get through them is by going back to your knees. Not only does prayer help us get assistance from God, but prayer also, it adjusts us to the perfect will of God. I hope you remember the illustration that I used with Anthony last week, that oftentimes what we're praying for, before God brings it to us, there's some adjusting that he has to do inside of us. God, I wish y'all could hear me this morning. There's some adjusting that he has to do in us, because some of the things that we've been asking for, we ask for the wrong thing. So he has to adjust us, so when the answer does come, we ready for what he said we need. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that which we ask or think, according to the power that is work at us. Ha, I'm not trying to say you ask too, amen, big. I'm trying to tell you, you ask too small. You asking him to pay a bill. He trying to get you out of debt forever. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above which we ask. Generally, and I don't want to hang out here too long, but generally we ask according to the capacity of our faith. And too often our faith have been so minimized, we asking, amen, too small of a request. And God said, I got to adjust you so you can think differently. I got to adjust you so you can get your expectations up. Somebody say, adjust me, Lord. Adjust me, Lord. Anybody want to be adjusted that your expectations become higher and bigger and wider? I thought I was just going to do some leadership stuff for my father's organization, for all of his pastors and some of the pastors in the region, and doing all the closing session for probably around 150 delegates that they brought together to be taught by leadership. That's all I thought I was doing. But so much more happened while I was with my father. I saw a shifting in the mantle, and he said, you want the mantle now? It's yours. God, I don't know if y'all can hear me. God's trying to expand your expectations. Amen. Because what you're asking for is too small. And that's in the room. And I hope somebody grabs it. Whenever we're praying, amen, according to Romans 8 and 26 and 27, he adjusts us to that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. He adjusts us. I know, again, I'm the only one that asked outside of God's will and was praying that he gave it to me. And he had to adjust me that I wanted the good, acceptable, perfect will of God, because that's what he was going to bring to me. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God is adjusting you because you're not yet ready for the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Have y'all figured this out yet? We really want from God what we want. Y'all ain't got to say nothing, man. We really want God to be, we don't want him to be God. We want him to be Santa Claus. God, let me get this maximum. God, I need you to drive it up. I need black chrome wheels. Now, I can't pay for it, but that's how we asked it, God. God, by the time I get to work tomorrow, God, I don't want no work that I have to do. I just want to sit there and be on Facebook at work. I'm telling y'all what type of kind. God, now your husband, okay, y'all, I'm going to mess with y'all husband. That your husband can't boil no eggs. He only know how to boil eggs, and you praying by the time he get home, Lord, let a full course meal be sitting there. Well, you better get on the phone and order something, amen, that's getting delivered, because he can't boil no eggs. Better get on the phone and order something. And prayerfully, he can help you pay for it. We're asking for stuff that oftentimes is out of his will, and he's trying to get us adjusted, because what's going to arrive for the believers in this moment is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Do me a favor. Let's do it one more time. Say, Lord, adjust me. If you don't believe you need adjusting, amen, read Proverbs 19 and 21. Many devices in a man's, woman's heart, but it is only the counsel of the Lord that will stand. Lesson 2, I talked about point number 2, be prepared that our words, our motives, and our wills be adjusted to the perfect will of God. And then finally, I said, pray until we are assured things are working together for good for them as well as for us. If you prayed and now it's just working together good for you, don't stop praying yet. You want it to work together for them as well. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, did you get that? Neighbor, did you get that? All right, Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Give me 13 minutes and I'm finished. Matthew chapter, and I know y'all looking at me like, why does he do that to us? Why does he do that to us? Watch me. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 1 through 15. Amen. Elder Natira, if you don't mind, would you read that for me? Amen. Matthew chapter number 6. Amen. Matthew chapter number 6 from the series Four Dimensions of Prayer. I want to, amen, read Matthew chapter number 6, verse 1 through 15. Let's read.
Matthew chapter number 6, verses 1 through 15. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by men. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Wow. He teaches them to pray, and then on the end of teaching them to pray, he says, now, don't miss this. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Father, thank you for the word that you've sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few minutes, make me an oracle of God. Make me a spokesman. Let me declare your truth. Let me say what is in your heart. Let me reveal what could have been the mechanism of hindered prayers. Let me show your people, oh God, how to pray and, oh God, under an open heaven and get, oh God, open answers. We thank you. We glorify your name. This is our prayer today. And, oh God's people said amen and amen. For a few moments, amen, I want to talk from a subject before we pray. Before we pray, let's forgive. Before we pray, let's forgive. Matthew 6 is the foundation, is foundational understanding of praying effective prayers. All right, Matthew 6 is foundational understanding for praying effective prayers. How many of you guys want to pray effective prayers? Let me see your hand. Amen. Let me see your hands, all right? Well, Matthew 6 is foundational, amen, for understanding of how to pray effective prayers. All right, there are three things that interfere. There are things that interfere with prayers being inefficient, not producing, and not being effectual, fervent prayers that prevail. And in this text today, he identifies one of the key things, and I'm going to take a few moments I want to talk about so we can make sure that's not the thing that's hindering us. In Matthew chapter number 4, Jesus encounters and he's tempted by the evil one. In Matthew chapter number 4, our Lord and our Savior, he encounters the evil one, but after encountering him, the Bible says he returns in power. In Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus then begins to preach and teach his disciples who they are, how they are to believe, and their misconceptions and their false doctrines. I wish I had more time. Whatever you're going to do, if you're going to be an effectual person that pray, remain teachable. Remain teachable. Sometimes our prayers are not working because we are not teachable. Before he instructs them how to pray, he says, I got to teach you about some of this doctrine that is off, that you are strongly holding to. And that's in chapter 4 and chapter number 5. He begins to tell them, you believe this and you believe that and you believe that. Get rid of all of that and come back to the simplicity of me. If we're going to pray effectual prayers and not be like the scribes, not be like the Sadducees, not be like the Pharisees, it says they love to pray prayers impressing people. But I'm not paying attention. Say that again. He said these Sadducees and these scribes and these Pharisees, they're not doing anything in the closet, but when they get before you, they start praying like they are some serious prayer warriors. He said, but I don't even hear them when they pray. And the main reason he didn't hear them because the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes, they were an unteachable group of people. They thought they was on Jesus' level. They thought they could correct him. And Jesus looking at them like, I ain't even answering your prayers. How can y'all correct me? Okay, I didn't come to mess with that. But come on, tell your neighbor one time, say, remain teachable. Remain teachable. In chapter number 5, he begins to instruct them and teach them about their offness and where they had missed it. And he said, now come back to the simplicity of me, and I will then teach you how to pray, that when you pray, you get answers. One of the things that stand out to me about Jesus as he walked the earth, as his action and his deeds, or that which was recorded in the gospel, he only took those deeper and into greater revelations that remained in this teachable spirit. And for those that did not remain teachable, he let them hang out in the shallow, believing that they were deep. I said a mouthful, and I told y'all I ain't got but 13 minutes. You better catch it today. When you stop being teachable, you will appear to be deep, but God has already left you in the shallow. Because he gives grace to the humble. And the revelations and the insights and the deep understanding that God's trying to take us through now, it's going to take great humility. I believe the commercial says stay thirsty. I want to say stay teachable. He only took, go examine the Gospels. Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes, he's telling everybody, these ain't no deep folks, these are vipers. They're phylacteries. They're only trying to impress men. Their robes, their titles. Jesus is saying it's all throughout the gospel. But then when you find a woman that is humble and graceful, God says about her, I have not seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. Stay teachable. He gives them a warning, and I'm almost there because y'all are counting my minutes now. He gives them a warning. In Matthew chapter number 6, verse 1 through 9, if you are going to pray, before you pray, you need to make sure you read that warning. Do you gonna be doing things that are fruitless? If you're gonna pray and if you're gonna believe in prayer, make sure you read the warning. And I don't have time to go through it all, but he gives them warnings that, hey, don't be like them because their prayers are not being heard. He gives them a warning. This is what you need to do before you pray. Where are you going, Pastor? Here it is where I'm going, and you can get ready to doxologize me, son. He says, for if you forgive men of their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your sins. If the Father does not forgive our sins, then that makes us sinners. Better get the inference. And the Bible told us he hears not the prayers of sinners. You better get the inference because it's much deeper than it sounds like. He says, if you don't forgive men, I'm not going to forgive you. Who else besides God can forgive our sins? I know we have a whole denomination that's going into a booth, amen, and they're confessing to a man, but I wish I could help them. That man struggling with trying to touch a little boy, that man can't forgive no sins. Yeah, that's what I said. The Vatican is admitting it, so I ain't telling y'all something that ain't on news. Y'all looking at me like, I'm telling y'all what they're reporting themselves. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So if our sins are not forgiven, man, that means that we are sinners. That means he does not hear our prayer. So we could have prayed for 3 hours, 6 hours, 4 a.m., 12 p.m., 6 p.m., but because we have not forgiven, God said, I ain't hearing you. I need you to go back to 1979. And I need you to let that go. I need you to go back when you was 3, 5, 7, whatever, whenever it happened, that you said you ain't gonna never let it go. And I need you to let it go. Because if you don't let it go, you carrying it with you the rest of your life. And what we think is we hurting that person, but we ain't bothering that person. That person are going about their business. We're hurting our own selves. Forgiveness is really not that much for them. It's for us. What does forgive mean? And clock just expired, so I got to rush now. To grant pardon or remission from an offense. This is Wikipedia. To give up all claim, account, to cease to feel resentment against, to cancel the indebtedness or liability of, to no longer feel owed anything because what they did. Well, she owed me apology and I ain't letting it go. Well, when you forgive them, you release them of what they owe you. The Greek word for forgive, it goes forgive, forgave, forgiveness. It's combined. It means to send forth or to, listen, check this definition out. It would forgive mean to send away. As long as we won't forgive, it hasn't gone nowhere. But in the Greek, when you forgive, you send it away. How much stuff that we are carrying that we need to send away from us? What daddy did, what mama didn't do, what somebody slipped in the room and did, what they call us when we was down south and it began with an N, and that's still in our mind. I don't know about you, but I'm in a season of my life, I'm on my way somewhere, and I can't carry that weight of what they did to me. Somebody called it. I heard him say, that's right. Hear me. It means to send away. It means the remission from the punishment due to sinful conduct. You are right. What they did, They do need to reap what they sow, but you are not going to be the one that recompense them the reaping of what they need to sow. God, now don't get this twisted. God's not mocked. But he didn't make you judge, jury, and, you know. To the deliverance of the sinner from the penalty. Where are we? And I told y'all I'm out of time. Number one, we got to choose to forgive. It's not deep. It's not deep, Racine. It's simple. But we missing it. We have to choose to forgive. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me. Unforgiveness is the mechanism for many unanswered prayers. And there is no magic formula. I can't teach you to jump three times and then now forgiveness is going to be even. Ain't no sidestepping in the Holy Ghost. Ain't none of that. You just got to choose. They did it. They were wrong. I choose to forgive. Somebody go ahead and pray to say, I choose to forgive. I'm trying to help somebody to get some prayers answered. What they said it in a very nasty tone. It was mean. It was hateful. They never came back and said sorry, but I choose to forgive. Number one, we got to choose to forgive. Number two, we have to choose to follow Christ's example of forgiving. We got some crazy stuff that we say. I'm going to forgive you, but I ain't forgetting. When did Christ say, I'm going to forgive, but I ain't going to forget? He's on the cross. The very people he is on the cross for. Saving their lives, they killing his life. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they do. We have to follow Christ's example. Father, why they did it? We trying to figure out why they did it. We want to figure out, are they still doing it? We trying to figure out so much. And God, No. Come here. Say, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they do. We've got to follow Christ's example. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Stop copying folks that are holding resentment and mad and angry. And you're going to end up just like them. I'm following Jesus because I'm trying to be free. Oh God. I'm following Jesus because I want to be free. And I've discovered a new freedom when I just let him go.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full length copy. We hope you are encouraged. And please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.